It's time for the Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone Show on ESPN 94.7. Call the show now at 330-744-0947. Now, here are your hosts, Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone.
We're back, final hour. We are in afternoon hours now. Mr. Sports, Ron Fantone right here, 330-744-0947. Sports, music, comedy, variety, everything in between. Local
Who's
show, insanity, a little something for everybody.
Who's this guy?
Guy is the great Rob Schmidt, longtime friend of both of ours.
Hey, Rob.
Rob!
I saw Dan Gardner as I was coming in. He was leaving, obviously. And I'm like, I must be in the right place because I like to follow greatness.
Yeah, absolutely. Rob, I haven't seen you in ages. How the hell are you?
Good, good.
You're
Everybody's
looking good?
Yeah.
You're
trying to stay
working
busy.
For Youngstown State Athletics.
Yeah, I've been fortunate. I mean, you know, we all were together. Well, it's been almost 40 years ago now at another station in Warren.
WRRO. Yeah, I don't care. I mentioned them.
Yeah. It's been great.
Yeah, and so what are you doing now in Youngstown State University Department? What's your title?
So I've been.
You guys all have these long-winded titles at YSU.
They're really long and drawn out. Don't equate to a whole lot.
Yeah.
For the shorter version, Associate Athletic Director for Athletic Marketing and Promotions. But, you know, I also oversee the licensing of our trademark logos at the university.
Okay.
Help oversee all the broadcast operations, whether it's radio, TV. So help oversee all of that. I think, you know, the good thing about the athletic department at YSU is we're not all just pigeonholed. Everybody helps one another.
Right.
You know, it's similar to what you guys do here. You know, everybody wears multiple hats. I think that's the brilliance and the beauty of the job is there's something new almost every day, every year.
Well, Fantone doesn't wear multiple hats. There's no way in hell he's going out selling anything. Now, me, on the other hand, I actually have to go.
What have you sold here?
Funny Farm, JR's Pub.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It takes time. I mean, you know, I know sometimes
so
you know,
tell me about
get frustrated,
this, Rob.
But it takes time. You know, when I first come out of college, way back when, you know, I was fortunate, and I just had an event at the Curbstone Coaches that I spoke at, and you know, and there's some people you don't always have a platform to thank them, and you guys have an opportunity here to thank a lot of the people that you've worked with, dealt with,
absolutely,
which is always nice because it doesn't always get said. And Ron already mentioned it. Bob Kersmarkey was the guy. When I was coming out of college, kind of gave me a chance. But at that time, I was only selling advertising.
Right.
So, and it was straight commission.
Mm-hmm.
So you either sold advertising or you didn't make any money, you know, is the premise of every job. So, you know, you don't take it personal, but it takes a while to build up an audience. Now, fortunately, RRO had a great reputation. They were a standalone AM in downtown Warren. You guys are trying to, you know, do something new and carve out your own niche, which takes time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think when the buzz comes and, you know, the momentum starts rolling, then I think advertisers who need, in today's world, they need a return on their investment. They need to see hard figures.
Exactly.
I mean, we get it all the time now. I work with a couple agencies where they want to know the number of listeners. Well,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times when you're doing sporting events, as you guys know, you don't have those day parts.
Right.
You know, you don't get numbers for those.
The data's not available.
It's just not available. So then, you know, then they want air checks and whatnot. So, you know, you have to appease them all. But it takes a little time. I was fortunate when I went to RRO that I was able to do that until 95. And,
right.
And when I left and when I left the radio station, I always wanted to get back into sales. So when I had the opportunity, I got out of television and went to YSU primarily to do the men's basketball broadcasts and then and get back in sales.
So RRO, you guys go back. So you started there.
I started in 86.
86.
I was there
and you and Fantone crossed paths. So he was a morning guy.
Mm-hmm.
Was Evelyn St. Clair was there maybe?
She was on midday.
Because I worked there for about 3 months. You guys mm-hmm. have a much longer history with
well, when
that.
When she left, I became program director.
Yep. Okay.
You know, and yeah, we had a lot of good memories there, yeah. Not a good time, sir.
Rob, how
Fantones are special.
You guys were so big.
Ron and his late brother.
Yeah.
You guys were so big in Warren and Trumbull County, though, back then.
Yeah,
I mean, you had the oldies format before BBG.
Well, that's the thing. So really, to tell you the truth, and Ron spearheaded it, you know, along with Bob Kersmarkey's love for that type mm-hmm. of music. You know, Bob, I'll forever be indebted to Bob Kersmarkey.
Yes.
For several things, but for giving me my chance mm-hmm. to get into radio. And then when I left, I went to WBBW for 6 months. And when I came back is when he moved me into sports
wow.
in addition to sales. So I'll be forever indebted to Bob. He's still in Streeter, Illinois.
Yeah.
Doing
yeah.
well.
Yeah, I always liked Bob. I mean, he gave us a lot of chances.
He was the one that was on the cutting edge of that.
He was so creative in promotions and things.
Yeah, very much so.
The things we did downtown were just incredible.
He was so far ahead of his time.
We had horse races down there. We had car races. Remember the car races? We had Hold On to the Rock. We had
Big Chuck and Little John.
Yep,
Chuck
brought them down. Yep,
we made a movie. Made a movie with Big Chuck and Little John. That's right.
You got married on air.
Night of the Living Zombies. We made with Big Chuck and Little
John. I'm sure that was a fantastic production.
It was a great movie. Don't criticize my.
I saw the video. I saw the video.
The movie was good. I tell you what,
it was terrible.
That movie had you on the edge of your seat.
The
whole time.
It was like, I shouldn't. But the people in Southern Ashtabula County came down for that and didn't have to put on any makeup. I mean, they were just extras for the fun of it.
I have Bachelor.
Yeah.
We went to Tin Pan Alley, and we sold over 1,000 of those carts.
No kidding.
Absolutely. Yeah, we really did. We packed in. As a matter of fact, they had the fire department come out there because we were over the limit of people. Yeah.
And right next door, you guys had the Park Hotel. There was always an event going on.
I mean, there was so much going on.
There was.
Between noon and the park, like Ron had mentioned, there were so many things that we did ahead of the curve. You know, we had street dances.
We did.
You know, we brought in tons of sand.
Wow.
We had street vendors long before all these festivals popped up.
Right.
You know, we had bunny races. We gave away. I always said we didn't really sell the airtime. We were selling everything around it.
We were. That's right.
Bunny giveaway, Santa Claus stuff. Santa Claus gives away. Like Ron just mentioned, Hold On to the Rock. There were so many things that Bob had come up with that were unique. But really where he made his mark was when he changed from, I think we were just adult contemporary.
Yeah.
He went to 50s.
Yeah,
went 50s and 60s. Yeah. And we actually got into the book. I think top five.
Yeah. No kidding.
At one time in the market.
Wow.
And then other people started to take notice.
Yes.
And the signal was a little larger in Youngstown, a little bit stronger. And that really just kind of thwarted all that momentum.
We were hot for a while.
Yep. Very much so.
1440 memory that you'll never forget. Maybe it involved Fantone, maybe it involved somebody else. You'll never forget, Robbie?
There's a lot of things.
Anything you could share that you need to clean up?
A lot of things.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things. Some of my wife's not very proud of. But the one I remember, and after you had asked me to come on today, as you well know, Ron's a devoted Browns fan.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Just lives, eats, and breathes it. And I was, at the time, much like yourself, I was a Raiders fan. Now, I've since kind of dissipated on my love affair for individual teams in the NFL. But I just remember this would have been, oh, Lord. I just remember there was one time, and they might have played each other in the regular season, and the Raiders had won, and he was all upset on the Monday morning.
That's about right.
That's right.
I don't know if I wore a Raiders apparel. I just remember him being really upset about it.
He always agitated me.
Yeah, I just remember him being really upset about it. That was the best part.
Yeah.
No. There were a lot of good people that came and went through that place. Yeah. I mean, I don't think people realize, you know, they talk about a lot of other stations, but, you know, Andy Baskin, who's up in Cleveland now, was my board op. Potesta remembers. I don't. Being my board op.
Mm-hmm.
There had a lot of people come through there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Who were very talented. Jim Evans came through there. In fact, I think he was the morning guy right before you.
He was. He was. Yeah, Jim was there right before.
Who's the guy that used to smoke and then became a big anti-smoker guy?
Oh, that's probably about? Dr. Rock.
Al Frank.
Oh, Al Frank.
Al Frank.
Yeah, Dr. Rock was there.
Dr. Rock was
there. Yeah, it was a really big station.
We had
Grover. Grover and Vinyl.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. It didn't get any better. Playing the Lemonheads on the air. That was good stuff.
Never got any better than Vinyl.
Did you see this up personal? Because Fantone clashed with management all the time.
No, that's not even close to the truth.
No, you're going to defend him?
Close to the truth. No.
He was always fighting with somebody.
No, after Kersmarkey had left and they sold the station, Ron became very fast friends with the general manager that took over.
It wouldn't be
not right after Chris.
It
Martin.
Wouldn't be a female, would it?
After it was,
it's a female,
maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know where he's going. Yeah.
But those were.
I'm in a relationship.
I'm not inferring. I'm just inferring that you became good friends, and your brother did too. And God bless his soul. Henry Nemmons is a great man. He was a great
Henry
man.
Nemmons,
Henry had a big heart, and he really did. And we were so happy. I remember the day that he took Ron, me, Robin Best and himself, and we went to lunch over on the west side on Mahoning Avenue.
Wow.
Some little hole in the wall that served lamb on a spit. But he took us there because.
I'm trying to think of the name of that. I remember it well, Robbie. Yeah. Yep. And.
And Robbie, you did, and then after RO, you leave there, and him and I cross paths. Well, first of all, I work with Robbie. I did a little bit of basketball with him in a short time I spent with you on a morning show doing news. And Robbie, if you think you're an enraged driver, if Rob was late for something, oh, man, the words that would come out of his mouth.
Oh, man.
Move your car, I'll take my dragon.
they're a lot worse than that.
Oh, my God.
And they still continue.
And Rob was an excitable play-by-play announcer.
You, Rob, these drivers find me. I swear they'll wait until I'm coming down the road, and then they'll pull out in front of me, and then it's a game on.
But Robbie had his own language, and it was so funny. And I would just be howling and die. And one day, where I want to say a couple stories, and you're going to remember this. Two games that I did with Rob, I'll never forget. We're in, I think, Warren Western Reserve and Bob LaRicca with the Raiders back then, or in the playoffs, and Rob. Robbie was boisterous. By the way, fantastic at play-by-play. We'll talk about that coming up. But Robbie was always boisterous and excitable and everything. And there was another broadcast show. I think we were playing Toledo or something.
We were.
This guy working with the Toledo radio stage goes, "Will you shut up? Keep it down. You're bleeding on our broadcast." I'll never forget that. Another night, one of the craziest stories. And Rob, you know I'm going to say I was doing color for Rob, so he was doing the play-by-play. And having worked with this cat, I mean, it's just fantastic. And we're doing a Girard basketball game. And my job, we both got there late, go figure, right? Was to go get the programs and the numbers of the kids and everything. So we're doing a game. Girard's playing somebody, Liberty, I'll just throw a name out there. And me and him, the whole story of the game is how this kid named Rob Teeter had come off the bench. He was a virtual nobody that hadn't scored maybe 10 points the entire season and put up a 50-point burger that night.
So that was your fault?
I think it was my fault.
Really?
And
so
Rob's like,
"How
about Teeter? This is the story of the year. 50 points. He hadn't done anything all year." And then after the game.
So wait a minute. This was your fault? for 35 years? I've been thinking it was all me.
All these years.
Like, I got a dude. I'll stop here real quick. So I got a dude. I don't know. Maybe it was the next day, the day after, cut out the Tribune. Right? And the kid's name was Mark Morgan that had the big game.
Morgan had the big game. They switched jerseys.
They cut out a piece of paper and wrote Teeter and then taped it over top Morgan and put it on my desk. Because it was your fault?
I think it was.
I'm leaving. I can't be a part of this show.
This is
unbelievable.
This is what he does.
And Rob's right. Teeter's father wanted to. He goes, "You got a copy of that game?" I guess my son went off. Not really, but wow. Rob said he did. So, and
that stopped me from getting network jobs. I can't believe
that was
that.
So embarrassing.
I fessed up to that as if it was my mistake. They don't let me in Girard anymore. I live in Girard, but they don't let me in there unless I have a pass that I have to pay every month.
Oh, that was too big. Oh, and I remember Rob and I walking around. We were both red faced the next morning. Both of us.
It was
terrible.
Oh
my God, we cannot
still
believe
mad about
that we did
it.
That.
Yeah, I'm even more upset about it.
You have every right to be.
That's awful.
Yeah, that's right. I'm telling you now.
The game between Reserve it was a Toledo school.
Was Smith on that team?
It was the 89 year when they went to state. We were in Canton at the field house. It was the Civic Center. We were at the Civic Center in 89. And I remember the guy telling you in the post game about that. And what he doesn't understand is I do that purposely, and I still do it to this day. If there's a competing radio station next to me, I make sure I talk a little louder.
Wow, I like that.
I still
like
do
that.
It to
all right.
So my dad, now you're not the only one that almost got into it with another station. So we were doing Warren Kennedy versus Sandusky St. Mary's in football. And the guys from St. Mary's were a little bit over from Sandusky, a little to my left. My dad was my buffer. And my dad almost got into a fight with them because they were upset about all of it. But yeah, I still do it to this day.
One of the guys that influenced you as you started getting into the sports realm, and you had to be, what, 25, 26 years old when you took all this? You were a young buck. Maybe
I was,
younger. I don't know.
I was 23.
23.
23 when I first
Matt
started.
Stevens had been there. He had been a presence there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matt was an influence on you?
Yeah, a big influence, much like Joe Tate is yourself.
Yeah.
You know, Matt, Matt obviously has passed, but I was forever thankful for Matt. So when you're a kid coming out and all you really want to do, and you guys have both had this happen to you many times, people just want to kind of see what you do in
right.
person. They kind of want to sit and watch you run the board and do your deal, and they want to see you come in and, you know, how you guys run the show and, you know, how you handle the whole situation. So as a 22, 23-year-old kid, I asked Matt and Ted Wingert if they would mind if I went along with them.
Right.
Just to watch them do games, how they set up, you know, how they handle themselves, and they were more than welcoming.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, they both allowed me to come with them. I remember they would let me set up the equipment. Well, when I left and went to BBW, I asked the two gentlemen who were doing those high school games if I could go along and just watch them, and they said no. So 6 months later, I leave. Chris Markey allows me to succeed Matt, and I get a call from the one guy at BBW. And he asked if he could be the color analyst. I said no.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Because they
denied you. I've
told
this story many times.
Yeah.
You never know who you're going to meet, when mm-hmm. you're going to cross paths. You may grow up idolizing Ron Fantone, and someday down the road, you're going to meet him.
And you,
same thing with John. You know, Mr. Sports, you may end up hearing him for 20 years. All of a sudden, you cross paths. I know you.
Yeah.
But if Mr. Sports was nasty, which John is one of the most loving guys I've ever met, you know, they're going to remember that.
John is?
John's one of the touchiest dudes I've ever met. Yeah,
come on, man. Come on. You know why? Because I got five kids. I got five kids. And by the way, he's married to somebody that I went to school with, Vicky Andrews, former Vicky Andrews. Vicky Andrews Schmidt now.
God told me you have two ways to make it to heaven. You can either do exactly what is written in the Bible, mm-hmm. or you can salvage one soul from that miserable village and rescue them and bring them into society.
See?
So I opted to take that that avenue.
And you guys have been married forever now.
Yeah, way too long.
I love
How
Vic.
Many years?
Really?
Boy, you better get
this right. 9:34.
Wow.
Congratulations.
And here's the thing, growing up, Vicky, twin sister, Wendy, the two girls, and I'm talking about, and I've known Vicky and Wendy since second grade, we couldn't tell them apart. And they were always, because I had Batra, we were in alphabetic order. The Andrews twins were always up in front of us. And it's like, and sometimes they would purposely look like each other to try to confuse the teachers and the fellow students.
Pretty much.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing. We're going to talk to Rob Schmidt. Also did a lot of TV. We're going to talk YSU basketball and so much more. You've been doing that forever. The guy's fantastic if you haven't heard him. We're back with more Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone. And it's an afternoon Monday edition right here on ESPN 94.7 FM. All right, Rick just texted. He says, I may actually stop by JR's tomorrow to meet Bart the Music Man. So Bart will make his debut tomorrow.
There really is a Bart.
There really is a Bart. Fanton, you're going to meet him tomorrow.
Right.
And he's going to say, hello, I'm Bart the Music Man. You're going to be all fired up about
I don't
that.
Think he exists.
Myself. He exists. It's not like Jay and Brady's girlfriend from the boyfriend from the Brady Bunch.
You can use a name.
It's
you
not
can
like
use
that.
A name like a fake Bart, and then you can do whatever you want.
Not true. Not true.
That's
not
what's going on.
You'll meet him, and you'll know that he knows music. Wait, do you hear this guy play the jukebox tomorrow? I'm telling you. Anyway, we've got Rob Schmidt in the studio here.
So that takes a talent to play the jukebox. Wait a minute. So. When I hear him,
you'll be able to tell like his knowledge of music just based on the songs. That's right.
Have you ever heard anything like that?
No.
I'm sold to the point that I may want to show up.
Yes. You meet Bart the Music Man.
Absolutely.
And Rob, I can only do so much, but I'll try to get you an autograph from Bart the Music Man.
I would appreciate that.
That's okay. It'll be right up there and everything. All right. You've done a lot of TV, too. You and I, Robbie and I both, I think around 90, 91, worked at Channel 33 for a little bit. For me, it killed me because I was doing full-time radio.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then had to work weekends and then back to radio. And I did it for a year and it fried me.
I hated it. I don't mind telling you. I hated it.
Did you?
So, yeah, I hated it. I hated it. It was 90. So Tom Mock had called.
Oh, boy.
Harding had just won a state championship in football the year of the consolidation.
Right.
And we were talking after the season. He goes, do you ever think about getting into television? I said, no, I didn't. He says, so come in and do a test. So I went in and did a test. It was awful. And then they hired me to do weekends. We kind of split them.
Mm-hmm.
And mine lasted about 6 months. I hated it. I didn't like television whatsoever. My heart was much like you two.
What didn't you like about it?
In radio.
Your
there's
whole day?
A lot of it's a long day. There's a lot of things that go on before you go on the air
right.
that you have to have done. And then it's the presence of being on air. So then, you know, even when I came back and got into it, there's all the little idiosyncrasies. And it's not good if you have OCD, which I sometimes struggle with.
Oh,
so,
is that right?
Yeah. So I didn't really care for it. My heart was in radio. I mean, I wanted to be in radio. And much like John, I had a full-time gig, you know. So I was very happy working at RRO at the time. And, you know, Harding had just won, and, you know, they were steamrolling, and Kennedy was big. You know, and you get to a point where you're like, I'm pretty content doing this.
Right.
So I didn't really care for it. I was glad when I didn't have to go any longer. And then about a year and a half later, Jim Evans called and said, hey, do you want to get back into it? And at that time, it was 92. At that time, it was simply going to be vacation relief.
Okay.
So, like, if Ron took vacation and they needed a guy to fill in for a weekend, I would do it. Or if John, Mr. Sports, took a weekend off, I'd have to fill in for him. And it was only, like, four times a year. So it was enough. It was enough. Well, then it kind of morphed once I left RRO. Mm-hmm. Then I made a couple of phone calls, had some friends, and then it morphed into a part-time gig. And the part-time gig lasted about 2.5 years until it went full-time. And then once you're immersed in it completely, then it becomes a little less strenuous, a little less tedious because it's yours. So then you start to take it over and do things the way you want to do them. So I was fortunate. Jim Campbell is one of the greatest men I've ever met. I remember the day that Jim was let go and I had to fill in for him. He stayed and helped me do the sixth.
Wow.
Most people would say, I'll see you later. Sink on your own. Yeah. And Jim didn't do that. So I'll forever be indebted to Jim for that. But no, I was fortunate. I've always kind of been in the right place at the right time, more than anything. So, yeah, I was there till 07. I was fortunate. Worked with some great people and enjoyed it. But, I mean, the hours were ridiculous. You know, I remember you were still over at the other station. I tell this story to a couple people. They're like, well, why did you know to get out of it? Well, my daughter was 12. I'd never been home at night since she was born.
And by the way, happy Father's Day to you.
Happy Father's Day.
To both of you.
Belated.
Thank you.
But, you'd get there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I wouldn't leave till 1 in the morning usually. Well, during football, you got to get ready for a whole lot of things that are going on.
Right.
I remember racing home from the stadium or from the station, racing home to get back to my house to do an interview with you on the air at 7 a.m. And I thought, that's it.
Wow.
When I'm racing home to do an interview, then that's just too many hours.
Yeah, it is. And then, you know, and you're only on, Robbie, you know, we are limited in sports
time.
Three
and a half.
Yeah, 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you got 5 hours to kill until you're 11. Yeah. And then you're on 3.5 more minutes. Like Robbie said, you know, 3 to 11 was a common day, maybe on a weekend. And this is supposed to be your free time.
It's a long
and you're rolling
day,
in at after 12. And I had to get up and do a morning show with Kennedy at Y103 at 5:30. Ew.
Tough.
Okay. Pump myself full of caffeine coffee.
Now, there were some great people that I had a chance to meet and work with at 33. Some great individuals. It just at that time, it wasn't for me. I kind of grew into it. But at that time, I was grateful for Mock for actually asking me and giving me the opportunity.
Right.
Same thing with Bob Hannon. But it just at that time, it wasn't for me.
And you and Bob Hannon handling the what I consider the two primo sports at Youngstown State. Of course, Bobby, having been in the studio, he's doing football. You're doing basketball. How long have you been the voice of YSU basketball now?
Right after you ended.
Really?
O2.
I didn't know it was that long.
Yeah, I've been. This will be my 24th year.
Oh, congratulations!
Oh my God, dude!
That's great.
Yeah.
Wow. I haven't done it for ages. But I'll tell you what. For me, I enjoyed it. It was again like a coffee type thing. You bring your briefcase. You come over. You try to retrain the system. Bing, 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 bing. And if you know, you're trying to set up like a strong signal too on the road. Robbie, I've got to ask you. When I was doing it, did you cross paths with John Robick?
at all? My first 3 years first 3 years were with Robic. My next 12 were with Jerry Slocum, mm-hmm. Then Jared Calhoun, and now Ethan Faulkner.
I had my run-ins with Robes, and then you have to host the coaches show as well. And we were at Oral Roberts, and I told this story, and he called what I deemed a very awkward timeout at a weird time, and he had to come over and do the post. They lost by a couple points to Oral Roberts, and I come and he storms over to the, you know, I got to do this post game with Batcho thing, and I was like, oh geez, I'm already, but I have to ask him. It's my job. And I said, Coach, interesting, you know, with 10 seconds ago you elected to call. He threw the headphones at me. He goes, that was the dumbest question ever. Next, see you later on the plane. And he rolls out of there.
Tell him about the plane drive home.
And I'm on there, and I got my headphones on. I just want to hide. Everybody sucked up to him, Rob. I'm sitting by myself with my headphones on, listening to REM, looking out. Like, that plane ride lasted like 100 hours. But did you ever get in a situation with a coach or whatever, or something you said on air that got you in some hot water?
Not necessarily hot water. I've always been afraid of asking bad questions. Mm-hmm. Because, and the thing is, we all see the game differently than coaches.
Yes.
So, you know, a lot of times we don't see it as intricate as a coach does. I mean, you know, the great Bob LaRicca, I remember before a game, taught me a lesson. So I asked him, what's it going to take to win the game? And he simply said, we've got to score more points than the other team. So I never asked that question again.
Yeah.
After I got my best friend, he's one of my best friends, is Jerry Slocum. And I remember when Coach first started, and he didn't really know me that well, his first year maybe, we had played Akron, and we were up by double figures, and we had lost. Played Kent, up by double figures, and we had lost. And I asked him after the second game, I said, which loss hurt worse, Akron or Kent? And he looked at me, and he goes, you got to ask better questions than that. And he's 100% right.
There you go.
He's 100% right. And I remember afterwards, and we are such good friends, and I love the man dearly. I remember we were talking afterwards, and he goes, why would you ask that? He goes, that's like asking me which hurts worse, if you cut my arm off or my leg. And I said, that's the answer I'm looking for. If you'd have answered it like that, we'd have been home free.
Absolutely.
But no, the coaches, they sometimes, it's difficult. I don't like doing post-game interviews because you've just got done for 2 hours
right
talking. I mean, you're mentally fatigued, and then to come back and try to pick a moment or try to ask an insightful question, to me, is difficult,
because you're so wrapped up in the emotion and the ebb and flow of a game.
It's hard.
I would be spent. I know what Rob's talking about, and I don't care what sport I did. No. I spent after any basketball, though, had a different level of intensity. Robbie, you've done it all. Basketball has a different level of intensity. It's so fast paced. Yeah. Fantone told me one day, he goes, I don't know how the hell you guys do that. He goes, there's a lot to basketball.
And people bash. I mean, you guys have all watched a lot of games and been to a lot of games, and sideline reporters will say, you know, what does this win mean to you, or how excited are they that you just won the World Series? Yeah. Well, they're just inane questions.
They are.
But what they're trying to do is just not upset the player or coach that they're interviewing, so they just lob them these inane questions. You know, how excited are you that you just won the MVP award? Well, I'm disappointed. You know, I'm really upset about it. You know, sometimes those questions drive you buggy, but they're just trying to get out of it alive.
Play by play, though, you know, in basketball and everything. And I was telling Ron about this. I mean, you're keeping tabs on the shot clock, the game clock, substitutions. There's so much going on.
I tell people this. When they mention that there's a lot, but it's much like you guys, and it's all relative. Like Ron, when he's on the board or he's, you know, changing music back in the old days when he was queuing up records and trying to, same thing with Mr. Sports and the way you guys juggled so many different things on the air. Once you do it, it becomes second nature.
Yes, mm-hmm. It does.
It becomes really like, you know, it just becomes a habit. You know, it's like anything else, just becomes muscle memory. So, you know, I always tell people, when you're first starting out, make sure you do the essentials. You know, mm-hmm. tell me who the team is, tell me what the score is, tell me what the time is. But after that, once you start to get into a rhythm, that's when you start throwing in the little garnishes.
So in basketball, and again, you're calling the action too, between the circles, top of the key, angles off right wing and everything. Mm-hmm. Joe Tate was a big influence on me. Who were people that shaped your personality?
Same.
Yeah, Tate.
Tate was big.
Same here.
I was fortunate. Right out of college, I went to a banquet locally that recognized all the local sportscasters, and Tate was the guest speaker. So I went, and I asked him, I told him what I was planning on doing or what I wanted to do. And this all kind of ties back to what we began speaking about. He said, if you can sell it, they'll find a way to keep you. Because I mentioned to him I had a chance to go work for a radio station, but as a salesperson. And he said, if you can sell it, they'll find a way to keep you. So eventually I was able to sell it,
right?
And they figured out a way to keep me.
Yeah.
And that's how it all kind of began.
We're going to talk much more with Rob Schmidt. I got a couple questions about him, about maybe some career regrets. We're coming back next, Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone, after this on a Monday afternoon on ESPN 94.7 FM. ESPN 94.7, Mr. Sports, Ron Fantone, the voice of Youngstown State University basketball, Rob Schmidt in the studio. You got to ask a question, Ron. You're perplexed.
I'm perplexed because Robbie just asked me about a gentleman that used to work with us.
Yes.
WRO, and I'm trying to think of his name. It's right.
Like a cigar place or something?
It was another doctor. Do you remember? You'll think about this.
Yeah.
Call me later.
There was Dr. Rock and there was Dr. What do they call him? He's a black guy.
Yeah.
Right? I remember.
Right? Yes. Yes.
You remember his name?
No. That's why. It has puzzled me. For I don't know why he popped into my head, but for the last month.
It's going to puzzle me the rest of my life.
He has puzzled me the last month.
Thanks a lot.
I do remember Justine. She was in the hallway, and she'd always... Yeah. Ron Fantone! She called you Ron Fantone.
She called you by your first and last name.
Yep. Justine Probe.
Rob Schmidt!
Bye-bye, Mr. Rob Schmidt.
She was fantastic.
Going out on sales.
Justine was fantastic.
Absolutely too funny.
She was great. She was a sweetheart. Yeah. Yeah,
Robbie Schmidt, so much to talk to you about, but celebrities and encounters that meant a lot to you. You talked about you and I both grew up Raiders fans. Yeah. For me, going to the Hall of Fame invitee from Ken Stabler's family.
Nobody cares about that. Raiders
no, that was incredible. Stuff. Ray Guy, Archell, and all these. No, it was like really huge. And I took my kid,
man.
And I got to run into Montana. No, it was amazing.
I'll go get some
it was
water
amazing.
While you two talk about the Raiders.
But anyway, the celebrities that you got to meet that stood out to you, amazing experiences.
Yeah, I've been fortunate. When I was in television, there was obviously a lot of events. I'd cover the Browns and Steelers weekly. I guess maybe the one that pops into my head first would be Jim Brown.
No kidding.
Had an opportunity to meet him locally. He came to a Browns backers meeting.
Wow.
But he was a great guest. He was everything people say as far as cordial, respectful, well-spoken. He was all of that and more. He signed whatever you wanted. Yeah, Jim Brown would probably be, he'd probably be one of those guys for sure.
Career regrets. Rob Schmidt became a legend here in Youngstown, Warren, Trumbull County, Mahoning County, Columbiana County. Was Cleveland and Pittsburgh ever on for me, I think when I came out of high school and everything, it's like, I want to go to L.A. I want to go to Boston. And I hung out with some of these cats on different things. I went to New Orleans at a boot camp. Talked to the number one morning show in Boston. I'm like, yeah, I had designs of that too. It just, I got anchored here by family.
No, I don't have any regrets. I have none. I have zero. I have no regrets. Everybody that I've worked with and the places that I've been, I'm blessed. And to tell you, I've made a lot of people upset. Because I had a bit of a temper. Because I wanted things to be done right.
Mm-hmm.
I never really accepted less, especially when it reflected on me. So there are a lot of people who are still friends of mine to this day, and I don't understand why.
Oh, jeez.
I really don't.
You're a little harsh on yourself.
I'm one of them.
Ron's one of them. After that day when I made fun of the Browns losing to the Raiders,
come on.
He's one of them.
Come on.
But, yeah, I don't have any regrets. I had some opportunities, I guess, but, I grew up in this area, so I didn't really look too far. I always kept my eye on certain opportunities, but I wasn't going to go all over the country, doing this job for 2 years and then bouncing over.
Right.
That just wasn't who I was, and I'm still not. If an opportunity came where I could have gone to Akron, and I had a chance. I talked with Joe Tate about it.
Wow.
About an opportunity he was going to arrange for me in Akron, and I opted to go into television instead. So I don't regret that decision at all. You know, there was an opportunity. My good friend Tim Alcorn is now the Cavaliers radio play-by-play. Yeah. Well, Tim and I went to college together. Tim hired me on the campus radio station.
Wow.
And when that position came open twice, I had submitted stuff and spoke with a couple of people, but it didn't work out. That would have been, you know, the Cavs job would have been the only one I would have, but I could have lived here and driven. I had no designs on baseball, no designs on football. If the Cavs had ever opened up, well, now that dream's gone because Tim and I are the same age. He does a phenomenal job. He's as good as anybody in the country.
Exactly.
So the Cavs have a great guy. They're, yeah. I mean, minus a, God forbid, some kind of a health issue, Tim will retire there.
Two regrets that I have, Robin. I crossed paths with Cleveland a couple of times. I remember going to Tower City at a meeting. Fantone was supposed to go with me, and he claimed he was sick that morning, so I did it on my own. Les Levine was there, Bubba Baker, Greg Brenda, Kenny Rota, and Brenda looks at me, and he goes, "You see Bubba Baker," and their former, you know, star defensive lineman, you know, part, you know, the Silver Rush defensive line with the Detroit Lions. He's doing a talk show. You know what we're paying him here? I think it was WKNR 1220.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Not that." He goes, and Brenda looks at me, and he goes, "John," and I became friends with him. I haven't talked to Greg in years. And he goes, "Stan Youngstown, you're a big fish in a small pond. Just stay there. You're making a good dollar, and don't worry about Cleveland." And I was like kind of disheartened about that. Another time, I had just taken a job at Oldies 93, get a phone call, Cleveland, 3WE, name is good, Mike Snyder. Come work for me part-time, shake a couple hands, meet a few people, get known in Cleveland. But I couldn't. Rob, my wife was pregnant. I was flattered beyond belief. Snyder's still doing it, right, with the Cavs?
Or yeah, no, did Mike's he retire? A great guy. Mike actually has been...
I turned it down.
Yeah, he's been, I don't say disrespected, but, I mean, they sometimes take him for granted. He's a fantastic guy and
right.
a really solid broadcaster. He's been overlooked. I think he's an overlooked individual.
Absolutely.
Highly underrated.
So Youngstown State University basketball, the knock is the women have been in the NCAA tournament. The men have never been there. Certainly during my brief run, which I didn't know till today, it was right before your long run now, which has been established for almost 25 years. We were close, but we couldn't quite get there. And much can be said the same in recent times. We did have a pretty big battle when Oklahoma State came to Beakley Center in the NIT, but, you know, are we ever going to get to an NCAA tournament?
I mean, we're almost there. I mean, so,
you think so?
So where the landscape has changed, you know, we had some opportunities with each coach that I've been with. You know, in 2013, Coach Slocum had a fantastic team. That we ended up going to the CIT, which was the first ever postseason tournament for the men's basketball program at YSU. Beat Oakland, then lost to Canisius in the second round. Ended up going to two other postseason tournaments under Jared Calhoun. And then this past year got to the Horizon League Championship game under Ethan Faulkner. Where things have really helped YSU is Jared Calhoun got out in front, and he's now the head coach at Utah State. He got out in front of this transfer portal NIL. I mean, he was doing it before other people knew what it was all about.
Oh, wow.
And he really transformed this program. And Ethan Faulkner stepped in last year in his first year and got YSU to the, you know, the Horizon League Championship game. And he's got a group coming in now that is better than last year's team and will definitely be considered one of the top three teams in the league's preseason poll. You know, they just had a kid that they recruited out of Kentucky, played for us the last 2 years. 7'3" kid named Gabe Dines. Just went to USC for 2 years, $1.5 million.
7'3"?
7'3". So Gabe was fantastic. They got a lot out of him, but he went to the portal. NIL lured him to L.A., and he's now making $1.5 million over the next 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's how the game's changed.
When I was doing games, I got to do it under two coaches. Dan Peters, who eventually left Youngstown State to become an assistant, at Ohio State, and then Robic took over, who of course went on to great fame, being John Calipari's assistant at UMass, Kentucky, and a number of other places. But we were in the MidCon conference, and you guys are in the Ryzen League. Is the Ryzen League a good? The MidCon, the knock was it wasn't travel friendly. We go out to Utah. There are a couple of Chicago schools. We went to Oakland, Michigan, and I'm just trying. We played at Montana. I mean, some great memories. But I was flying all across the country, you know. And keep in mind, Scott Kennedy's paying me a full time salary to do a morning show, and I was never there. I was always on the road. And especially we have back-to-back road games. I might be at, you know, out in Oklahoma, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, followed by a trip to, what, Cedar Falls?
Probably.
In southern Utah.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Yeah. So do you like the Horizon League for the Penguins?
Oh, most definitely. It took a little while for YSU to catch up to this league, which was better than the MidCon. So it took them a little while. Robert Morris went through the same growing pains until they got to the NCAA tournament this past year.
Right.
So it's a step up. Takes a little evolution. Got to adjust your coaching. Get different players. But that's one of the benefits that I've had in the time that I've been doing these games is, you know, for a kid sitting in his grandmother's kitchen when he's 12 years old wanting to do this, to have been able to do games all over the country from the Bahamas, from the Virgin Islands. You know, we've done games all over. So, I mean, that's, you know, this year I think we're going to Arizona for a game.
Wow.
So that's the beauty of it. Sometimes the older you get, the travel gets a little bit more tedious. I don't like packing as much as I used to or unpacking.
That's what I was going to say, Rob. I mean, you got to leave Vicky behind. The kids have something.
I don't mind that. You know,
come on, if she's listening, you know.
That's a detriment. Why do you think I've been doing it for 24 years?
Well, he talks about getting a chance.
Forever,
he talks about getting a chance to travel. I had never seen Utah at that time. I mean, Red Mountains and everything. And the snow and the thin air and everything. And we got to travel too abroad. We went to San Juan, Puerto Rico. We took on Kenyon Martin in Cincinnati. We got killed. But I'll never forget that. And just great memories of traveling all over and getting to see things for the first
San Juan's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. And it was the first time I really had spent time in Chicago. And what a beautiful, fascinating city that is. Where's your favorite traveling?
I've had some fun in Chicago.
Come on, man.
No, Chicago's my
favorite. Is that your favorite spot to go?
It was my favorite
trip. Chicago, Rob?
Chicago was my favorite trip. We used to play two times there every year. We played Loyola of Chicago, and then we played
Illinois?
UIC.
Okay,
Illinois-Chicago. Yep. So we were on the upper north side, and then we were south central.
Right.
But I met some fantastic people who are friends of mine still to this day. But now they're both out of the Horizon League.
Right.
So I don't get to go back to Chicago as much. So Milwaukee now has really kind of become one of the better trips in the league.
Wow.
You had asked about the league. The league, for the most part, for Youngstown, is a bus league. Mm-hmm. The only time we fly now is to Wisconsin to play either Green Bay or Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Everything else is a bus ride.
This is, and they were always trying to save a dollar. And we used to get per diems. It was a little envelope. And it would be like a trip. You get $35. So that's what it used to be for me. I get $35, and I had like 3 days to spend $35. Hey, thanks! Thanks for that! But you're talking about saving a dollar on airfare and everything. We're playing in the dead of winter. We're playing Montana at some tournament. They fly to Seattle, Washington, over top of Montana, and then backtrack to Montana. Because it was cheaper flight and airfare.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff they used to do.
Yeah,
I mean,
it
was crazy.
Since I started working there full time, I told them I did away with the per diem. I just said I'll be with the team. So, you know, I'm there at breakfast. So I go to team breakfast, team lunch, team meal before the game, post game after. I order with the team. So I said, just I don't want to mess around with receipts and whatnot. I'll eat with you guys.
Yeah.
So I eat with the team. Travel has changed in that our coaching staffs over the last, last three head coaches have all raised enough money that we've been able to charter to certain places. We charter to Wisconsin now. So we'll fly out of Youngstown.
Okay.
Either fly right into Green Bay or right into Milwaukee. You get off the plane, you jump right on the bus, on the tarmac, and off you go. So there are some where you're changing flights. You know, you are exchanging. You're going from Pittsburgh to Savannah, maybe to New Orleans or something like that. So there are those where you got stops.
Man, you've been some incredible place. 24 years, the voice of YSU basketball. Hey, we're finishing up with the great Rob Schmidt. We're back after this break on Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone on ESPN 94.7. Hey, we're back. NBA Finals tonight, Game 5. Series even at 2 games apiece. Indiana at OKC, 8:30 on ABC. Oklahoma City, a 9.5-point favorite. Mr. Football, I think, are square. I was hoping he'd call back in, give him
a chance to redeem himself, but no. Stanley Cup Finals tomorrow night. It'll resume. Game 6, Edmonton at Florida, 8 o'clock on TNT. Also heard right here on 94.7. Florida up 3-2 in the best of 7. NASCAR out at Mexico City. You big NASCAR fan, Robbie?
No.
No one likes NASCAR. You could have heard it right here out of Mexico because nobody gets Primo.
I got Primo. I just signed yesterday.
Van Gisbergen was the winner out there. It's some goofy channel.
It's
that,
some Mexican channel where you can watch NASCAR on.
U.S. Open Golf at Oakmont. J.J. Spahn's your winner. Mariners shut out the Guardians yesterday, holding Cleveland only 4 hits, 6-0. Cleveland's idle today. They'll be at San Francisco 9:45 tomorrow night with Ciccone on the hill. Cubs win 3-2 in 10 over the Pirates yesterday. Ian Happ with a game-winning single in the 10th inning. Pirates also idle today. They'll be at Detroit at 6:40 tomorrow night with Bailey Falter on the hill. College World Series today. It is Murray State against Arkansas on ESPN at 2, UCLA and LSU ESPN at 7, and the Scrappers 7-4 winners yesterday over Frederick Keys in the Major League Baseball Draft League. Rob Schmidt with us in here, and Rob just talking about some of the great guys he's met in the past, and one person, the former Cleveland Browns quarterback, who wasn't well received at the time because they cut popular quarterback Bernie Kosar, Vinny Testaverde.
Yeah,
Vinny it means a lot to you, though, personally.
Vinny was good. I mean, and maybe not as a player in certain people's minds, but Ron had asked just a little bit ago why I don't really root for NFL teams per se. I guess if you really had to put a gun to my head and say pick one now, I'd actually probably pick the Browns.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth.
Wow, me too, Rob. Same transformation.
But because I would always root for good highlights and
yes.
good interviews, so I started rooting for certain individuals. Speaking of Bernie, you know that was one thing that I was fortunate this past year. Harding played at Canton McKinley,
mm-hmm.
And I've gotten back into doing high school football broadcasts for Harding, and Bernie was our color analyst. So I worked with Bernie.
Cool. Wow.
I worked with Bernie. Yeah.
How cool was that?
He was fantastic.
Yeah. He could just dissect anything.
Yeah. He was really,
sometimes
really
the
good.
Words don't come out the way he wants them to, but
he
is just so.
He was funny. He was glib. He was on point. It was three of us in the booth, and he didn't step over any of us. He was outstanding, and it was a great night, and you know. Regardless of who won or lost, it was, yeah. I'd always wanted to do a game from the new Fawcett Stadium, which mm-hmm. I still call Fawcett, the new Hall of Fame Stadium, and to have it there with Bernie was, yeah, he was outstanding.
Wow, Rob, that's
super.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
And I pray for him. You know, he's going through some health issues right now.
Absolutely. And it's about
thank you, Rob, yeah.
Rob, I got to thank you, buddy.
No, my pleasure. Thank you, John.
Please come
thank
back. You, please come
great.
Back.
Good seeing you, Ron.
Nice seeing you, Robbie.
You always got
have a nice rest
thank
of your
you.
Monday, Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone, and we'll catch you tomorrow live from JR's Pub.